This audio on demand is made possible by Neighborhood Sun, a Maryland community solar company offering you a chance to save money and support new solar projects in Maryland without installing any panels or any upfront fees. Get a guaranteed discount and help promote a clean environment with locally produced solar power that's not on your roof. Find out more at neighborhoodsun.solar/WYPR.
Hi, I'm Katie Marquette, and welcome to this special episode of The Noir and Bizarre. I'm handing the mic over to WYPR reporter Rachel Bay, and she's taking us behind the scenes of a ghost hunt at the Lord Baltimore Hotel. I've never been on one, but listening to Rachel's story, it felt like I was there, and I definitely had a few shivers up my spine moments. Just a note before I hand things over to Rachel. If you've been enjoying this podcast, make sure to give it a rating in iTunes. This is the number one way for podcasts to get new listeners and to make sure they're turning up in searches. I really appreciate it. And now, without further ado, let's get going on that ghost hunt.
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve?
They're demons! They're demons!
Experience the excitement, the danger.
But it would be slightly more difficult to pull off now, though, don't you think?
The Lord Baltimore Hotel is the oldest operating hotel in Baltimore. It was built in 1928 on the site of an even older hotel that burned down in the Great Baltimore Fire. And if the stories are true, it's also one of the most haunted places in Maryland. On the last Saturday in September, the Lord Baltimore Hotel participated in National Ghost Hunting Day. The holiday was created in 2016 by Maria and Bob Schmidt, a husband and wife team who run Haunted Journeys, a sort of travel resource for all things haunted.
Let's say you were going to go to Missouri for some reason. You could go to our app, click your way through to get into Missouri, see what's all there, possibly while you're there, stay at a haunted place, and eat at a haunted restaurant.
The Schmidts created National Ghost Hunting Day to generate interest in the kinds of haunted places cataloged on their site. This year, the Lord Baltimore Hotel was among dozens of locations around the world that hosted simultaneous ghost hunts. I've never participated in a ghost hunt before, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little nervous. So I want to be as prepared as possible.
Could you introduce yourself on the team?
I can. So I am Lee Johnson Lowe, Director of Sales here at the Lord Baltimore Hotel.
The day before the hunt, I head to the Lord Baltimore Hotel to learn about the hotel's history and the ghosts I might encounter.
We would have been one of the tallest buildings during the Great Depression. So as we know, with tall buildings in the Great Depression, there were jumpers. And there were over 22 documented jumpers here at the Lord Baltimore Hotel. That is probably the time period where most of the ghost stories come from.
One of the hotel's most popular ghost stories is about a little girl named Molly.
Like most stories, once they're told over and over and over again, there are different variations. But the story goes in such that she and her parents actually came here. The three of them, ended their lives at the same time. And she supposedly runs around on the 19th floor looking for her parents, playing with a red ball. It's a common story. Another common story is in the ballroom, there's a dancing couple. Now, rumor has it that these two are not so friendly. They don't like people invading their space.
He says the ghosts of other children also have been seen in the hotel. There are reports of children on the ballroom floor who may or may not have ties to the dancing couple. And there are stories about a little girl named Lord.
So she would have been abandoned here in the lobby. And the hotel kind of took her under their wing and kind of stayed with her until alternative parenting came about. But they named her Lord after the hotel. They say that she's here somewhere.
Have you personally seen or experienced any of these spirits?
I have not. I have to say I'm not necessarily a believer.
I ask Lee to show me around, partly so I can get my bearings while it's still light outside.
There are 19 floors to the main house, but there is a crown that sits on top of the hotel that houses four penthouses. There are some bizarre things that happen in one of the penthouses. There is a handprint that just will never go away. No matter what we do, it just keeps showing up.
What do you mean?
So you can actually see in one of the rooms a handprint on the wall. And no matter what we do to try to cover it, whether it be paint or wallpaper, or if you have the proper lighting, and I'm anxious to see if they find it this weekend, you'll see that it just keeps coming back.
We get off the elevator on the 19th floor, which is thought to have the most ghost activity, possibly because it's where guests can gain access to the roof.
When guests say they see this little girl with the red ball on the 19th floor, is there a specific spot she usually is in?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, it's often mostly out here in the kind of the foyer area. There have been people that, and you have to remember, I'm not a believer. So some of these stories are, okay, I see her running down the hallway and it's not on 19. And it might be on another floor. And they're like, I feel like I saw her running down the hallway with her red ball. It's a pretty common story.
Next, we swing through the ballroom.
So this is the Calvert Ballroom, all original Baccalaureate crystal chandeliers.
It's a beautiful space, 10,000 square feet with three floor-to-ceiling windows on the far side of the room. Each corner has alcoves featuring painted murals on the walls. A second-floor balcony with ornate black and gold railings lines the sides of the room. It's currently set up for what could be some sort of speaker, a podium facing several rows of chairs. It's hard to imagine unfriendly ghosts occupying an unseen dance floor. In addition to the 19th floor and the ballroom, the ghost hunt will also visit the basement of the hotel, where the employee lounge is. Lee says the employees have reported many paranormal encounters.
We had a few housekeepers over the years that have actually left. So our housekeeping services here...
Because of the ghosts.
Absolutely. So our housekeeping services is a contract, and they refuse to work at this hotel.
Wait, the whole company?
These certain individuals, yeah. Just because they have felt a sense and just an uncomfort level that they could not work with.
I leave Lee and go to meet Bill and Chris Reap, the husband and wife duo who run Reap Investigations, a team of professional ghost hunters based out of Pennsylvania. Bill and Chris used to be correctional officers for whom ghost hunting was just a hobby. Now, Chris tells me, ghost hunting is their full-time focus. We head to their hotel room so they can show me some of the equipment they plan to use during the ghost hunt.
We're going to utilize a lot of different equipment because of, you know, the vast array of history here. And, you know, history is the key to the paranormal.
The first piece of equipment they introduced me to is Flash.
Flash is a basset hound that...
Just to be clear, a stuffed basset hound, a fake one.
A stuffed fake basset hound. But in our hearts, he's real as they come.
Flash is named for the police officer's dog in the Dukes of Hazzard. Like the dog in the show, they explain, Flash has to be carried everywhere.
I'm going to activate this, and you could probably hear this on radio. Okay, a little beep. Okay, it's built-in EMF detector, electromagnetic field, which is one of the things that may be present when a spirit is around. And he plays in two different functions. He has a more musical side that we like to use when there's children around.
The ghosts of children, that is.
And then the other noise is more... Yeah, he's picking up. What we're doing is the electromagnetic from your recorder is setting him off.
Making the ghosts feel comfortable enough to communicate with the living is a big theme. Chris explains that they use a stuffed dog because a dog is something someone who died more than a century ago would recognize. And they use other devices that light up or make fun noises when they think there might be child spirits present. Chris holds out a small clear plastic ball about the size of a golf ball.
It's made for cats. When they bat it around, it lights up. So we will ask spirit to move the ball or touch the ball, and when it touches it, it lights up. And we've actually been able to communicate. I could say, if your boy touched the ball and make it light up, by asking yes, no questions, either or questions, long as we keep the question simple, we can communicate with these. And we've had some response, especially with children. child spirits.
But one of their main tools is what paranormal investigators call ITC, instrumental transcommunication. ITC refers to using recorded sound or video to communicate with spirits. The REAP investigations team uses a few tools to do this. One is something Bill refers to as the spirit box. He compares it to a transistor radio. It sweeps AM and FM frequencies in a broken pattern.
It believes that spirit, you know, uses frequency to communicate. So it's a way to have spirit, you know, break the energy barrier and utilize those frequencies to communicate with the living.
The team also uses mobile apps for ITC. The apps are loaded with speech that's played backwards. REAP Investigations has its own ITC app, which it will use during the hunt.
And that is children singing and talking and saying nursery rhymes, all play backwards. And so if we're in a location where we feel that there are a lot of child spirits, or possibly a female spirit playing the children's voices, might trigger them to respond, a motherly instinct or a child hearing another child.
All of the recorded sound is played backwards. So if something comes through in normal English, that's not part of the recording. It's thought to be a ghost communicating.
One of the things that we try to do is communicate. That's the big thing everyone wants to do. I don't care if you're a paranormal investigator or not. Everyone wants to be able to hear spirit. Everybody's obsessed with death. They want to know that there's something on the other side. They want to know that they could still speak to their lost, you know, loved ones. So ITC has become a real big push again.
Beyond communication, the main goal of any investigation, Bill says, is to debunk, to look for hoaxes, and to eliminate all possible non-paranormal explanations for what appears to be a paranormal phenomenon. What's left are the things that can't be explained away, unless you believe in ghosts. The ghost hunt starts at 8 Saturday night in that beautiful ballroom. Bill checks me in and asks me to sign a liability waiver. 60 people have registered to participate in tonight's investigation. Chris stands at the front of the room, near the windows, explaining some of their gear to the people who are here early. Flash the Basset Hound stands on a table behind her. The center of the room is brightly lit, but the rest of the enormous space, the alcoves with the murals on the walls and the second floor balcony, are dark. Most of the people gathered here seem to be at minimum paranormal enthusiasts, if not experienced investigators.
My name is Kara Oliver. I'm from Ellicott City, Maryland.
Have you ever participated in a ghost hunt before?
Nothing like this, but ghosts have definitely come my way before, so that's why I was interested in coming.
When you say they've come your way before, what do you mean?
When I've been at sites that are haunted that I didn't realize were haunted, I feel like I have spirits coming to me, and I just wanted to come and see what it was all about because I haven't done anything organized like this.
My daughter and I always have, ever since she's been little, watched like the Ghost Hunter shows and other shows on TV.
This is Jennifer Lance from South Baltimore.
Would you consider yourself a believer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, weird things happen in my house all the time.
Yeah. Like
faucets will turn on full force. Door handles on my closets will spin round and round. My husband says it's probably vibrations. You know, he always has an explanation for it. I'm like, really? Okay. So yeah, I believe in it.
Lori Moore of Annapolis says she and her daughter Elise Moore went to a ghost hunt in Indiana about 5 years ago.
And then there was a seance that was meant to speak to P.T. Barnum and Jenny Lind here in Baltimore. I think that was around January or February, and we were part of that as well.
They both say they've had their share of supernatural experiences, but that doesn't make tonight any less exciting.
If you hear any screams, I either saw a cricket or a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
The REAP Investigations team divides the participants into groups, each headed to a different part of the hotel. I go with Bill REAP, along with a group of 17 women, to the ballroom floor's kitchen.
Okay. Do you want to know a little bit about the history of things that have been going on in there? Okay. Employees walk out, they quit, they don't want to work in there. Things are flying off the shelves, doors open and close behind them. There's a storage room in the back, which we'll be going to, where things constantly are, you know, people get a very heavy feeling going in there. There's a walk-in cooler. which people get a very bad feeling when they go in there. It's a very hard place. Nobody wants to work in the kitchen up here. Okay? So we're going to start there. Okay? Okay, who's got a question?
I do.
All right.
Bill explains the tools he's handed out, things that measure static electricity and electromagnetic fields, a radio that sweeps through AM and FM frequencies, and a video camera he's jerry-rigged by connecting an Xbox Kinect device to an iPad.
This is an SLS camera. And what the SLS camera does is, you know, it takes an image and it produces a stick figure.
For anyone like me who has never used an Xbox Kinect, it uses a camera to track your body movements while you play a game. When Bill points his SLS, or structured light sensor, camera around the room, objects appear as shapes on the screen. Point it at a person, and you see the outline of the person's body with what looks like a stick figure superimposed over it. Bill says that if a stick figure appears without a human behind it, that's spirit. Bill tells the group we're going to start with an EVP session. That stands for Electronic Voice Phenomenon. He pulls out a small digital voice recorder and has us all go around in a circle and say our names. Then we go around a second time, asking questions of the seemingly empty room, pausing between each.
Can you tell me what year it is?
Are you hurt?
What's your age?
After we each ask a question, Bill stops the recording and plays it back. So far, no sign of spirits. We make our way to a storage area in the back, cramming into a tight space. A person in the corner to my left is holding the radio, asking the spirit to say a three-syllable word to confirm its presence. But Bill is having better luck with the SLS camera. He alerts us to a stick figure dancing on the screen. And just like that, it disappears. Lori Ostendarp describes what she saw.
There was a stick figure, looked like it was dancing in front of them, and they were standing perfectly still. And it was pretty cool. It was moving back and forth between the three girls standing over there. It's pretty amazing.
Bill leads us back into the main part of the kitchen and gets our attention. He's pointing the SLS camera at one of the women in the group.
Did it follow us?
Well, come here. I'll show you.
Yeah, don't ask me.
What's your name?
Renee.
Renee.
Yeah.
Okay, Renee, wave.
Guess what? It's back there with her.
There's some commotion as people move to see what's on Bill's screen.
Anybody feel anything? Anybody feel?
I'm having chills up my back.
You're having chills up your back, and he's right in front of you.
He says we could try communicating with the spirit through an EVP session. He pulls out his tape recorder.
Who's here with us? Can you tell me your name? Do you like the women? He's like just chilled out right across there. What year is it? Playback. Who's here with us?
We can't hear it the first time, but when Bill plays his tape back, it's clear as day. Jason. He had said, Jason. From the kitchen, we head to a conference room on the 19th floor. We can hear noise from a crowd outside at the hotel's rooftop bar. Bill pulls out a device he's rigged using the Reap Investigations ITC mobile app.
Is there anybody here with us? Tell me your name. Can you tell me my name? Who knows Ring Around the Rosie?
Ring around the Rosie, pocket full of posy. Christmas is ashes, we all fall down.
Can you want them to sing again?
This goes on for a while. Sometimes it sounds like the device is emitting words, but most of the time I have trouble understanding it, even when others in the group seem to decipher it.
How many are here? One. Thank you. What's my name? Do you know who Jason is? Yes. Who is Jason? How old are you?
Seven.
Are you a girl?
Bill stops asking questions and turns to us.
It's interesting when you ask questions about what they're seeing, what year it is, who's the president, things like that, because that helps us try to figure out what time period we're dealing with. Now, this hotel was built in 1928, okay? So the history, everybody thinks, oh, we're only gonna speak to ghosts from 1930s, all right? Somebody could have got married here in 2015, thought this was the coolest place in the world and died in 2017. And this was a happy place for them. So, I mean, we're gonna go. How many here are gonna hang out at the cemetery if they're buried in a cemetery? No, you're gonna go where you want, you know, where you're gonna want to be. So it's important that we treat spirit. That we treat spirit like people. Like we're talk to them like we're talking to your best friend. You know. And you get better responses. You know, be pleasant, be fun, be around.
He says there aren't really malevolent spirits. If you weren't a nice person when you were alive, you probably aren't going to be one when you're dead. Truly demonic possessions are like winning the NFL draft, he says. One in a million.
How many here saw Ghost? The movie Ghost? Patrick Swayze. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Do you remember the scene in the movie where he was trying to move the penny and he couldn't do it, got pissed off and flipped the table over?
Yeah.
Was he a malevolent ghost? Was he an evil entity?
No, he was frustrated.
He was frustrated. So think about that too. So sometimes maybe it's just Aunt Ethel, you know, and she's trying to communicate and it's not coming through.
Ghosts are people with feelings, he says. And if the living treat them badly, they might respond badly. After some time, Bill tells us it's time to go back to the ballroom for the group experiment. Every site participating in National Ghost Hunting Day is going to do a simultaneous EVP session beginning at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. On our way down, I ask Bill about Jason.
We heard Jason pretty clearly, it sounded like.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there, I know the kind of the goal here is to debunk any possible outlier explanations. Is there a possible outlier explanation here?
No. Not to get it in two different locations of the hotel. I mean, we got it in the kitchen and then we got it again up here. So how do we say, oh yeah, it was somebody, no, you know, that was on two different types of equipment. One just a clear audio and then one on a piece of ITC equipment. I can't debunk that one.
All 60 of the ghost hunt participants gather in the ballroom for the group EVP session. One of the REAP investigation staff members turns on what Bill calls the Wonder Box, a similar device to what we were using on the 19th floor. A medium explains that she's going to ask six control questions, questions asked by every group participating in the worldwide ghost hunt. The questions are things like, how do we best communicate with spirits? And what is the greatest ability humans possess? Just like when we were using Bill's ITC app, I have trouble deciphering the speech coming out of the Wonder Box. Maybe it just takes practice. Before the medium can ask the last control question, she gets interrupted.
Question number six, and the last control question. What? What did it just say?
Jason.
Jason, do you have something to say?
Ask.
Bill.
When it's clear Jason isn't being forthcoming, the medium moves on to the final control question before opening it up to questions from the group. At the end of the experiment, we divide up again. I go with Bill, this time to the penthouse. I ride the elevator up with Elise Moore.
There's definitely, in my opinion, something around these hallways. I mean, we've walked through some of the same ones, and they give you vibes. I mean, in my opinion, they can be spooky.
If I wasn't getting spooky vibes before now, I definitely am the minute I walk into the penthouse. The hair on my arms is standing up. It's very dark and somehow colder. Bill calls us into the dining room.
When we were coming up here, everybody kind of was like, oh, I don't like the feeling I'm getting in this area. I feel a little off. All right. I said, your body is your best piece of equipment, okay? The energy feels a little bit heavier in here than it did anywhere else that we were. Yes? No?
Yes.
He tells us to take as many photos as we can and to wander and explore, because there's definitely something here.
Everybody here has stayed in a hotel room, correct? Mm-hmm. All right. You know the little safety locks so people don't pop into your room, right? The little bar across the top on the knob. Yeah. All right. So there's one on each door. There's two entrances to this room, to the penthouse. There's one in the back, which is the service entrance, which we just came up, and there's one in the front. Okay? Both doors had that safety lock on. You can only lock that from where?
Inside.
He says a security guard had to break in. The guard was terrified of who might be behind the door, but when he came in, it was empty.
You know, but there's definitely something different when you walk into this place, and we all felt it, all agreed on it.
Can we talk to him?
Sure. You want to talk?
Yeah, let's talk.
Okay.
Somebody murdered in here?
Well, that's a good question.
That's a great question.
Bill turns on his tape recorder.
Is there anybody here with us? What was your question?
Has anybody been murdered here? Who locked the doors today?
Did you get married here?
Tell me your name.
How many are here?
Did you die in this room? Did you end your own life?
Why are you here?
He stops the recording and plays it back. This time, no ghosts. Bill starts an ITC app and makes another effort to communicate.
Can you tell me your name?
Jason.
Jason, are you here with us? Two? Who else is here?
Jason, do you live up here?
Jason, are you following us?
At this point, Bill calls our attention to his SLS camera. Something just walked across his screen, he says. The group keeps peppering the spirit with questions.
Who locked the doors up here before?
Ollie?
Do you want us to go down?
What happened in the bedroom? I'm sorry. So did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
What did it say?
I better say don't.
What did it say?
He wasn't talking earlier tonight.
How many living are in this room? 18. How many are here?
We all start frantically counting. We only count 15.
Is everybody here?
We're all on edge, huddled around the glass dining room table and watching each other.
There's too many of us.
Too many of us?
Yeah.
How many do you want to stay?
Five.
Which five? Do you want me to leave?
That last question doesn't get answered. Bill stops his recorder and plays it back. We don't hear anything new. But now we all really want to know who Jason is. Bill pulls out his phone and starts searching Google for connections between the hotel and someone named Jason who died. He notes how unusual it is that we heard the name Jason in every location we went tonight.
So there's absolutely nobody here knows a Jason who passed away?
I do.
You do.
Yeah.
So could it be him?
Sure, I mean, anything's possible.
Why didn't you want to talk to him then and ask if it was him?
Uh-huh.
You want to? We got a couple of minutes. I'm game if you are.
Sure.
What's your name?
Tracy.
Jason, if you're here with us, are you here for Tracy?
Jason Hollingshead, is that you? Tell me what your baseball number was in high school. Tell me the month of your birthday. Why are you here?
Playback.
We listen to the recording. This time, Jason isn't talking. Bill turns to Tracy. It turns out, Jason was her high school boyfriend who died in a car accident. His baseball number was 7. Remember, we heard the number 7 when we were using the ITC app on the 19th floor. At the time, we thought it was referring to the age of Molly, the little girl whose ghost is often reported seen there. But maybe it wasn't about Molly at all. Maybe it was about Jason. At the end of the ghost hunt, Bill tells me to check my recordings for signs of Jason. After all, I was recording all the same EVP sessions he was. I haven't decided whether I believe that any of this is real, but maybe if I hear Jason on my own recordings, I'll be convinced. So a couple of days later, I listen to what I recorded when we were standing in the kitchen, when we first heard Jason's name.
Who's here with us?
It's kind of hard to hear, but it's there.